Hello, this is Lois Pausch reading the Vermilion County News for Friday, January the 19th, 2018. And we'll start with an article with the headline, New Assisted Living Facility Proposed. Dateline Danville, a new 74-unit assisted living and memory care facility is planned for about 22 acres of land north of Life Church along Bowman Avenue. Charleston-based Phillips Investments LLC is requesting the rezoning of the land north of 2105 North Bowman Avenue from agriculture to R4 multiple family residential zoning to construct the facility. The Danville Area Planning and Zoning Commission will consider the request at its 5:15 p.m. February 1st meeting at the Robert E. Jones Municipal Building, 71 West Main Street. According to a press release about the project from Linda Snyder, Regional Development Director with Villas of Hollybrook and Reflections, the Villas of Hollybrook Assisted Living Community and Reflections Memory Care will be an upscale private pay 50-unit assisted living with an integrated 24-unit memory care community. The 65,000-square-foot facility will serve about 140 residents ages 65 and older, and at full capacity will employ about 65 people. According to Vicki Haugen, president and CEO of Vermilion Advantage, they've been working on the project for several months. City officials also are expected to act on annexing the land into the city and expanding the enterprise zone to also include these acres. If approved, construction on the facility could start in March. Grand opening could occur in June 2019. Construction requires 14 months, weather permitting, according to the press release. Haugen said Phillips Investments has numerous developments such as this throughout the state, adding that they are all private pay facilities. Phillips Investments' other locations are in Bloomington, Morton, Washington, Pekin, Chatham, Monticello, Gibson City, Savoy, Heron, Harrisburg, and Rantoul, plus Brazil, Indiana. Current construction of new communities includes Bethalto, Collinsville, and Bloomington, Towanda. The ownership entity for the Danville project is Phillips Investment LLC Danville Series. The group has three members who share the ownership evenly, Reggie, Chad, and Hadley Phillips. Reggie, Chad, and Hadley Phillips. Whoops. I'm not reading very well this morning. Please forgive me. Reggie Phillips of Phillips Investments LLC has been working with Haugen and Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower since last summer. The owners will utilize sister company Unique Homes and Lumber Incorporated to construct the assisted living facility. Annexation of the proposed site and enterprise zone status are in process, according to the press release. The proposed project will require $9 million in construction loans plus $1.5 million in investment. The press release continues. An expansion of the Danville-Vermilion County Enterprise Zone is being requested to include this 22-acre parcel, and provide property tax abatement for 10 years. In addition, Phillips Investments is requesting $60,000 in community development block grant funds for the city for the project. According to the press release, the project and employment projections qualify for the CDBG funds to be used toward infrastructure, equipment, and site preparation. The project will be financed through a traditional lender. The Villas of Hollybrook and Reflections Memory Care do not accept government assistance through Medicare or Medicaid. This project will serve the needs of seniors and provide economic growth opportunities in Danville. We appreciate all the support provided by area officials for this project. We welcome the opportunity to give you a tour of one of our award-winning communities so you can see why families say the Villas of Hollybrook and Reflections Memory Care are simply the best, Reggie Phillips stated in the press release. The press release also talks about the market area the facility will serve. The Dominate market area, that DMA, has a total population of 80,460. The Villas of Hollybrook and Reflections Memory Care can draw from 14,213 seniors ages 65 and older. This target audience is comprised of seniors ages 75 and older, which totals 6,336 within the DMA. Phillips estimates 8%, or a minimum of 509 of those seniors, need assisted living services. As to the care the facility will provide, residents are monitored by the wellness director and professionally trained staff. The residents can enjoy 3 meals daily in the dining room, plus snacks in the cafe. Residents are offered fun activities and special outings. Scheduled transportation is provided to medical appointments. Reflections Memory Care will provide Alzheimer's and dementia specialty care. And now another article with the headline, Etiquette Matters, Girls Treated to Elegant Afternoon at Denman Elementary. Dateline Denville. Fourth grader Kennedy Serrano gasped and threw her hand over her mouth in surprise as she stepped into the cafeteria after school on Thursday at Mark Denman Elementary School. A long lunch table was draped in pink embroidered tapestry and topped with red candlesticks and pink and yellow flowers in cut crystal vases. Kennedy was one of 15 girls from Mark Denman and Liberty Elementary Schools who had the opportunity to sip orange juice from crystal stemware and dine on fruit salad, banana pudding, and heart-shaped cookies while learning about the rules of etiquette. "I'm not used to eating this fancy food," Denman fourth grader Nyla Carter said. Her classmate, Jalorian Stewart, agreed, "I've never seen anything like this." Nanette Kerner, an entrepreneur and antique collector, whose daughters are at Denman School, decorated the elegant oasis in the middle of the school cafeteria, also was present to impart her wisdom to the fourth graders. Whose daughter is a third grade teacher, at Denman School, decorated the elegant oasis, etc. Jennifer Richardson, Mark Denman Elementary Assistant Principal, credited Superintendent Alicia Geddes for initiating the idea for a girls' mentoring group that would meet after school. Up to 20 girls from Denman and Liberty Elementary Schools are in the group that started meeting in November. Mentors meet with them once a week, and then once a month a mentor comes to speak or present to them on leadership, Richardson said. The topics for the first two monthly presentations were learning about our true selves and the power of our words. Kerner's presentation on Thursday emphasized why etiquette is an important part of leadership. "Etiquette has nothing to do with how much money you have, where you live, or the color of your skin," she told the attentive young girls. "It is a universal code of conduct for everyone." She also touched upon many examples of good etiquette at the table, such as how to pass food, what the placement of silverware means, and of course, to always say please and thank you. "If you've been to a formal dinner, always write a thank you note within 7 days," she advised. Kerner told the girl she works with global leaders frequently and has learned why etiquette is such an important part of leadership. She said leaders know how to conduct themselves properly and set an example, and they're confident, honest, and trustworthy. "Always remember you have the power to make a difference in your life and in the life of someone else by being the example," she said. The presentation ended with an affirmation that Kerner encouraged the girls recite. "You have the ability to set an example. Believe you are capable and smart and say it to yourself," she said. "You should say this to yourself every single day. I am smart, I am beautiful, and I am very important. Encourage and inspire, and you will grow into great leaders," she told them. And the next article has the headline, Improvements No Longer on Hold at Palmer Arena. Dateline Danville, state funding has been released for the David S. Palmer Arena, and the Arena Board approved a roof contract this week. "The grant funds have been released, so we went and awarded the bid," said Arena General Manager Peter Blackman. Board members approved a $424,327 contract with Atkinson Construction of Tuscola. Blackman said he hopes work starts in April on a new roof over the arena and in the northwest and northeast corners. There also will be repairs completed to the south portion of the arena's roof. Bids previously had come in a lot higher than the arena board had expected. The contract approved this week was from rebidding process in August. Blackman said contractors were aware of what was going on with the state funding being on hold. The roof work is expected to take about 3 months. It shouldn't affect arena activities or events too much, Blackman said. The arena has continued to have problems over the years with its leaking roof. With the county basketball tournament continuing to take place this week at the arena, we haven't had any issue with leaks over the basketball floor this year. We've been lucky there, Blackman said. He said, who knows what the melting of the snow will bring. We've had all kinds of issues, he said. Arena officials learned in 2014 that $850,000 in state funding had been earmarked as part of former Governor Pat Quinn's Illinois Jobs Now program to be used for arena building maintenance. The arena board determined a new roof was the top priority. Julius W. Hegler II also has bequeathed $3 million to the arena for a new ice machine and other improvements, including a new ice center entrance, likely on the building's southwest corner. Arena officials had hoped the roof would have been replaced last summer. The arena board also has hired an architect to work on plans for the roof. Blackman said with more than half of the state grant going to the roof, they will have to reprioritize other projects. There's a whole list of projects we want to do, he said about renovations and upgrades. The list far exceeds whatever remains. Upcoming events at the arena include the Brat Pack Band on February the 9th and ice racing on February 16th. The Danville Dashers hockey team also has numerous home games coming up. The Danville Civic Center opened in 1980 and was later named for Mayor David S. Palmer, who was instrumental in its development. And now for the obituaries. And the first is for Samuel P. Brown of Hoopston. He was 67 when he died on Tuesday, January 16th at Carl Hoopston Regional Health Center in Hoopston. A visitation will be from 1 to 4 p.m. Sunday, January 21st at Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street, Hoopston. The funeral service will follow the visitation and will begin at 4 p.m. Sunday at the funeral home, with Steve Unger officiating. Military rites will be accorded by Hoopston American Legion Post 384. After the service, cremation rites will be accorded and burial will be held at a later date. Memorials may be made to Hoopston American Legion Post 384. Excuse me. Or Hoopston American Legion Honor Guard 502 East Penn Street, Hoopston, Illinois 60942. And the next is for Praveena Shah, 76, of Covington, Indiana, who died on Tuesday, January 16th in Lafayette, Indiana. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Sunday at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Sunday at the funeral home. And the next is from Covington, Indiana. Sharon Yeely, Y-E-L-E-Y, 73, formerly of Loda, died on Wednesday at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A memorial service will be held at a later date by her family funeral services. 406 East Pell Street, Paxton, is in charge of arrangements. And the next is for Hallie Hill, 89, of Danville, who died on Tuesday at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 304 East William Street, Danville. And the next is for Charles E. Kiger, Jr., of Danville, who died on Wednesday at Presence United Samaritans Medical Center, Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvet Funeral Services, 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. And the next is for Glenda Henderson Kearney of Georgetown, who died on Tuesday, January 16th. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvet Funeral Services, 3 South Hodge Street, Tilton. And the next is for LCC Reynolds, née Morton, 93, of Belleville, who died Tuesday at Clinton Manor Living Center in New Baden. The memorial service will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, January 20th at Moss Funeral Home in Trenton, with Father Kenneth York presiding. Interment will follow in Green Mount Cemetery in New Baden. Visitation will be from 9 to 11 a.m. Saturday at Moss Funeral Home in Trenton. Memorials may be made to the Humane Society of Illinois or to the Disabled American Veterans and can be sent to the funeral home. And the next is for E. Darcel, Darcy in quotes, Vance, 58, of Kendallville, Indiana, who died on Wednesday, January 10th, 2018. A celebration of life will be at 4 p.m. Saturday, January 20th, that's tomorrow, with visitation from 2 to 4 p.m. at Trinity United Church of Christ, 311 Moses Avenue, Westville, Illinois, 61883. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations are invited to Cancer Services of Northeast Indiana, 6316 Mutual Drive, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 46825, and Noble County Suicide Awareness and Prevention, 2112 Logan Court, Kendallville, Indiana, 46755. And the next is for Maurice E. Zebart of Danville, who died on Thursday, January 18th. Visitation will be from 1 to 4 p.m. Sunday, January 21st at Pape Family Funeral Home, 10 East William Street in Danville. Services will be at 10 a.m. Monday, January 22nd at Pape's, with Father Beau officiating, and honors by American Legion Post 210, Legion Riders, and Patriot Riders. Burial will follow at St. John's Cemetery in Liverpool, Illinois. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made in Maurice's name to the American Legion Post 210. And the next is for Richard Tony in quotes A. Bennett, 79, of Williamsport and formerly of Cayuga, Indiana, who passed away at Tuesday, January 6th at his residence. January 16th, I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time today. I hope you'll forgive me. Funeral services are at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Saturday, January 20th, at Covington First Church of Christ, 615 5th Street. Officiating will be Mike Harshman. Burial will be with military honors in Lower Mound Cemetery, north of Perrysville, Indiana. Visitation will be from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Friday, January 19th, at the church, and 1 hour prior to services Saturday. Contributions may be made to Covington First Church of Christ, 615 5th Street, Covington, Indiana, 47932, or to Hanging Rock Christian Camp, P.O. Box 218, West Lebanon, Indiana, 47991. And the next is for Fleeta M. Schultz, 95, of Danville, who died on January 15th in Danville. A celebration of Fleeta's life will be at 3 p.m. Saturday, January 20th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Visitation will be 1 to 3 p.m. prior to the service. Entombment will take place at Sunset Memorial Park. Memorials can be made in her name to Farmers Chapel United Methodist Church, 414 Poland Road, Danville, 61834. And now back to news articles. And the first, it has the headline, District 118 considers registration plan. Dateline Danville. The Danville District 118 school board members heard a plan Wednesday night to streamline the annual student registration process. Assistant Superintendent for Secondary Education, Beth Jacoby, said the administration would like to create a centralized school registration process at the Danville S. Palmer Civic Center rather than continue to have parents register their children at individual school buildings in August. It would be like one-step shopping for registration and could be done much earlier, in June, she said. District 118 parents would receive a packet of registration forms in the mail that they could fill out ahead of time at home, Jacoby said. adding that the receipt of the packet would provide proof of a student's residency. Parents would then bring the forms to the two-day registration blitz, where representatives from each school would set up to accept the forms. Jacoby said she would like the district to partner with the Vermilion County Health Department and area physicians. Also on Wednesday, board members approved Danville High School's participation in piloting a state program that would give DHS an advantage in the school improvement process. The Illinois State Board of Education, the ISBE, is running a pilot program called IL Empower, which is a new system of support for schools statewide. As part of the four-month program, which ends in June, District 118 administrators will meet with ISBE staff to help get them acquainted with the district, DHS, and the identified strengths and challenges to addressing successful student learning outcomes. We will be asked to identify the issues and locate the resources and then implement them, Jacoby said. When Henderson questioned how all the data gathering would get done in only 4 months, DHS Principal Kimberly Norton said a lot of the work is essentially done. Board Member Gladys Davis said, "I like it. We already know how to implement the pilot program because it has been identified as a priority school." According to ISBE, a priority school is one of the lowest achieving 5% of state schools, using a three-year average performance of all students on state assessments in reading, language arts, and mathematics combined. The board also adopted a music history course at DHS. The class, Music History: Influence on Popular Music, will give DH students more choices in electives, particularly for freshmen. The course will explore relationships between early music and the popular music of today. Areas of study will include contemporary pop culture and its influences from early to modern music. The course will also use extensive listening examples from all eras to reinforce students' ability to identify musical influences in the context of today's popular music. The board also heard an update on the counseling services being offered to District 118 students by Cross Point Human Services. The board entered into a one-year license agreement with Cross Point in September. Cross Point personnel meet with students individually at several locations around the district, including DHS and Northridge. Okay, now, the next article has the headline, "Juvenile Charged in Georgetown Road Shooting." Staff report. Dateline Danville, the early Monday morning shooting in the 2400 block of Georgetown Road left a 40-year-old man with injuries and a 17-year-old juvenile, charged for aggravated battery with a firearm, according to a press release from Vermilion County Captain Michael Hartshorn. The Sheriff's Department responded to reports of a shooting at 12:30 a.m. when they found the victim. The 40-year-old man was meeting with the suspect and others at a parking lot when they started arguing. Multiple shots were fired and the victim was taken to Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. The suspect was arrested and charged, and because he is a juvenile, no other information was released. And the next article is about sports. And the headline is Oakwood Salt Fork Advanced to County Championship. Dateline Danville. Higher seeded teams were unbeaten in the first 4 days of the Vermilion County tournament, going 16-0 heading into the final two pool games of the 2018 tournament. That's when things took a complete turn. It started when the fourth seeded Oakwood Comets upset the top seeded Bismarck Hanning Rossville Alvin Blue Devils 52-49 on a three-pointer from senior Cameron Wise to win the Pool A championship of the boys tournament. It continued as Salt Fork senior guard Brady McMaster scored a game-high 24 points to lead the third-seeded Storm past the second-seeded and defending county champion Hoopston Area Cornjerkers 57-48 to earn the Pool B title. That sets up Oakwood against Salt Fork championship game on Saturday night at the David S. Palmer Arena, while the two top-seeded teams Bismarck, Canning, Rossville, Alvin, and Hoopston area will play for third place. Oakwood, which is looking for its first county title since 2004, probably had the craziest route to the championship game. The Comets, 10-8, looked like they were cruising into the marquee game on Saturday night with a 31-6 lead late in the second quarter. But just like the January 5th matchup between these two teams, the Blue Devils, 12-7, came roaring back in the second half, tying the game at 49 on a pair of free throws by Drew Reifstek with 1 minute 35 seconds remaining. "I was scared," Oakwood coach Craig Black admitted. "Skylar Bolton had fouled out and Chase Vinson had fouled out. We had to go way deeper on our bench. I just wanted the clock to keep ticking." And it did. Oakwood, which turned the ball over 20 times in the second half, was able to maintain possession for more than a minute. Finally, with just under 15 seconds left, Wise, who had been 4 of 6 on three-pointers, takes two dribbles toward the basket, pulls up from three-point range. His shot was right on the mark, and the Comets had a 52-49 lead with just 14 seconds remaining. "I practiced that stuff," he said. "I knew I wanted to take it. I didn't wait too long. I saw an opportunity and took it in." Black admitted the Comets didn't have any type of play called at the end. "That was Cameron on his own," he said. "I was just hoping for a great shot, and for him, that is a great shot because Bismarck Henning, Rossville Allen still had an opportunity to send the game into overtime, but Wyatt Edwards, who had scored 15 points in the fourth quarter, had a desperation three-pointer at the buzzer fall short. "We had a chance at the end, but that's all you can ask for when you shoot that poorly," Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin coach Gary Tidwell said. The Blue Devils not only overcame a 25-point deficit from the second quarter, but they trailed by 19 entering the game's final 8 minutes. BHRA used an all-out press defense to force Oakwood into 11 turnovers in the fourth quarter, with Edwards and Reifstek combining for 13 steals, 6 in the fourth quarter. "All of their guys are quick," Black said. "Reifstek and Edwards are on a whole another level. We were prepared for it, but we got a little scared with the ball in the second half and we made some crazy passes. The same thing happened the last time we played them. We were up 20, they came back to tie it, but we won." And while the victory 13 days ago was important in the Vermilion Valley Conference race, Thursday's win put the Comets into their first county title game since 2004. "This is all we've wanted since grade school," Wise said. "We just wanted a chance to play and win the championship." Salt Fork senior Brady McMasters said basically the same thing for his Storm. McMasters seemed nearly unstoppable at times, driving past multiple Hoopston area defenders on his way to 24 points, 14 of those coming on point-blank shots or layups. "They were pressuring me really hard, and I was able to use my speed to get past them," said McMasters. "And was that the game plan?" "Actually, no," he said. "Our game plan was to get the ball down low to Peyton Taylor and Gavin Chu, so my mindset coming into the game was to penetrate and then look to pass it. But when I was getting into the lane, I had an open look, so I just took it." McMasters also had 3 assists in the contest, but they weren't quite as valuable as his scoring. "Hoopston runs a really good defense," Salt Fork coach Andrew Johnson said. "You're going to beat a team like that with that style of defense, without a point guard who know where everyone needs to be, and he knows where everyone is on the floor." "He did a good job of being aggressive, and his ability to finish around the rim was phenomenal. It seemed like every time he got into the lane, he made the right decision." Hoopston area wasn't able to counter the offensive game by McMasters, as Salt Fork's defense didn't leave them many open looks from three-point range. The Corn Jerkers, 15-6, were just 8 of 30 from behind the arc in Thursday's game. "Salt Fork just got right up in us," Hoopston area coach Matt Colston said. "Off the ball, there was a lot of contact. That's high school basketball. We have to find ways to score when that is happening. We have to get each other open on screens. Our kids are just shying away from it. It's not secret. They have to step up and handle physically." The way we were going in to win the game is to play bully ball. We had to answer it and at least match it. This has been Lois Pausch reading the Vermilion County News for Friday, January the 19th. I look forward to reading with you again soon.